Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want to say congratulations to the Tampa Bay Patriots. They get the win over the weekend against the New Orleans Saints. And Kennedy, I don't know if you saw this or not, but they towards the end of the game, they cut to Drew Brees sitting on the sidelines, almost in tears.
It was not a good day.
Heartbroken.
Yeah.
Well, then after the game, there's another video that has now gone viral, and it's Drew Brees and Tom Brady just in their regular clothes, standing on the field, showing respect for one another. Their families are out there. Tom Brady's tossing touchdown passes to Drew Brees' son.
Yeah.
You know, just goat stuff.
Just so goat
it's
stuff.
It's a lovely, wholesome moment.
Yay.
And I know you care, Kennedy.
Nope.
The Tampa Bay Patriots play on Sunday, 3:05 against the Green Bay Packers.
If the Tampa Bay was not winning, would you guys care about Tom Brady? Here's my thought on this whole thing.
Okay.
I feel.
Yes. How do you feel?
That you're so used to winning here that this is just what we do in New England. We win, and that's fine. But we're not winning this year.
That's fine.
And so, but
yes,
you have something to grab onto
sure.
to say you're still a winner because you're Tom Brady. He might not be here, but he's still your Tom Brady.
That's right.
So you're taking that.
There is plenty of room on the bandwagon for you us, Kennedy.
I would never go on the
Tampa
bandwagon,
Bay Patriots.
But I just think if he wasn't winning and the team sucked, you would have a different tune.
Probably.
What do you mean? Of course people are rooting for Tom Brady. He played here for 20 years.
But if he was losing and not winning, it would be a different feel.
Did you say Tom Brady losing?
I did.
That's weird.
When does that happen?
Show me one instance of that.
What world do you live in?
Are they undefeated?
They're in the NFC Championship game. That's all that matters.
Kennedy's on planet Zippy.
Regardless.
Here in opposite world where Tom Brady loses.
Oh, I'm so over talking about him.
Carson and Kennedy's good vibe tribe. In this world filled with serious news reports and people doing stupid things, we say every little thing is gonna be alright. Yeah. There are people in this world doing good work and we are here to celebrate them. So don't worry about a thing. Here's another story from a member of Carson and Kennedy's Good Vibe Tribe.
And if you know somebody here that would be a part of the Good Vibe Tribe, drop us a text at 617-931-1234. Got a text from the 508. Says there is a Facebook group out of Framingham called Chew on This, Kennedy. The goal of the group is to support local restaurants. They have been doing a Venmo challenge, and then one of the admins will order takeout for the family of five, then give them a tip that is usually around $500.
Get out. What's it called?
It is called
Chew on This.
Chew on This, and it looks to be out of Framingham. Yeah, so one of the admins will order the takeout for her family and then take all the money that was donated and give that as a tip. So,
joining right now.
Well, there you go, Kennedy. Somebody sent that in to us. Again, if you want to drop us a text, 617-931-1234. Celebrity chef Jose Andres has been feeding National Guard troops in D.C. this week as they guard the Capitol and prepare for the inauguration tomorrow.
He has been feeding everyone. Literally everyone since this whole thing went down.
We've seen stuff like this here too, but a group in Italy is using an inflatable tent to help seniors visit with family during the pandemic. There's a plastic divider in the middle with armholes, so they're calling it a room of hugs. There's a janitor at a hospital in Salt Lake City who cleans COVID rooms, and normally he takes the bus to work, but his bus wasn't running on New Year's Day. So he did what I probably would not have done. He hopped on his bike and he rode 37 miles to get to work.
Holy smokes.
So his coworkers are raising money on a GoFundMe page to buy him a car.
Wow.
I'm just going to say
37 miles.
I've had my car not work and I Ubered.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't even work here if I lived 37 miles away.
Yeah.
We'll find somewhere closer.
I would have been like, I can't come in today. Like, right. That would have been the end of it.
This is pretty classy. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson got knocked out of their playoff game against the Bills on Saturday with a concussion. And the Bills ended up winning the game. So what did Bills fans do? They started donating to Lamar's favorite charity. It's a group called Blessings in a Backpack. And they make sure kids have enough food at home. In 36 hours, over 13,000 Bills fans chipped in and donated $360,000.
That's incredible.
I know they're in our division, but I like the Bills.
I do, too.
Yeah, if Tom Brady can't win, I don't mind the Bills winning.
I agree with you on that one, Dan. They've been fun to watch this season.
And those guys party in the tailgate.
Yes. Breaking tables.
There's
and
not
stuff
a lot
with their bodies.
That's the table.
Bills Mafia, baby. Yeah.
The police in Hampshire, England, or Hampshire.
Hampshire.
Broke up a party on Saturday night, Kennedy.
Nope.
Yeah, they were violating lockdown rules, and the excuse of several of the people there that got arrested by the cops was they didn't know there was a pandemic.
Come on.
Also, there's a thing now called a fake commute in the morning. Some people who are working from home during the pandemic, they do a fake commute. Like they go out for a walk or they drive to get a coffee and then they drive right back to their house to do their job.
That is a fantastic idea. Mm. It's so hard to end one thing and start another thing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
We talked to a woman that did that, like every morning would at least get up and put pants on and go get a coffee. And she was like, I just have to feel some kind of normal.
As opposed to just rolling out of bed in pajamas and just doing the job like we did last week. Right, Annie?
Yep.
What do you have for Good Vibe Tribe Audio, Kennedy?
So there's a small business owner in Charlotte, North Carolina, and she wanted to lift the spirits of nursing home residents who are lonely because nobody can go visit them. She owns a place called Confetti Castle, which does like, you know, those balloon arches and cool balloon things.
Yeah.
And now you can have a bouquet of balloons delivered to a local nursing home.
Us being able to show somebody people that don't know them care about them, I would only imagine that it would make them like so happy to know they're not forgotten.
So it's just $25. It's delivered to a local nursing home. And she says that in 3 days, she got 400 adoptions and the prices it costs. So it's literally just covering like the supplies of the balloons and the delivery. And that's it. So
that's amazing.
Right?
Nice. From the 617, Kennedy, he is the goat. We are the shepherds. We will love him forever.
Oh, guys.
And from the 978, the Tampa Bay Patriots, I love it, I'm in.
Let's go.
If you know someone who should be celebrated in Carson and Kennedy's Good Vibe Tribe, call or text us now. 617-931-1234. Keep up the good vibes there, Boston.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1. Hopefully you got some time away for the long weekend. I know we all did. And because I'm nosy, I need to know what you did pretty much every moment while you weren't around me.
It's like Big Brother.
Kennedy, so how was your weekend?
Stop me if you've heard this before. But it was pretty uneventful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I really didn't do much. My foster puppy went to their forever home. Mm-hmm. So I drove out to like Framingham to meet the family halfway.
Right.
In the screaming pouring rain.
Oh.
You might remember how badly it rained on Saturday morning.
Right.
At 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it's pouring down rain and they kind of, I'm like, you know, I just want to be like, well, here you go. And I gave the puppy with the blanket that she's been living in for the past, you know, however many weeks she was with me. And trying to explain, you know, just put the blanket in the crate. It will help her acclimate a little bit.
And they're like, yeah, whatever, lady. Let's go.
Like none of them would take the dog.
Right.
And so I'm trying to give it to the daughter because it's going to be her dog.
Right.
And she's adorable. And we've been going back and forth. You know, she had so many questions and she was ready to go. And she like didn't want to take it. I'm like, here, it's your dog.
I'm out. I've had it.
Is that an emotional moment for you or have you just done it so many times? Just like whatever.
For that dog, it was. I really liked this one. Yeah. She was probably the best. The best temperament dog I've ever.
What kind of dog was it? Lana asked me that.
They're all
just
same
a mixed
dogs.
Breed,
yes,
right?
There's no breeds. I mean, they all have some lab in them.
Yeah.
And then it's just, is there the only thing you're worried about? Is there like any beagle or whatever? Because they howl.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Do you know what I mean? That's really the only other thing that really matters. Mm-hmm. But she was lovely, and the family's lovely, and they sent me a video the next morning of her completely acclimated and forgotten all about me.
I had to drive in that same pouring rain on Saturday, so we got somebody gave us a refrigerator. They're remodeling their house.
And I hate it when that happens.
Well, it's a sub-zero refrigerator. It is a Boss refrigerator. Now, the refrigerator is like 20 years old, but these things apparently
it doesn't matter.
These things, if there's a nuclear like thing. You just go in this refrigerator and you'll be fine.
110%.
Amazing.
So they said we could have it for the camp house because we've got it gutted now and, you know, don't have to spend money on a refrigerator, which would be awesome.
You don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
That is
right.
That's
what I always say.
So we drove down to the Cape in that pouring rain and had to unload that thing.
No, thank you.
It was just like, yeah, not fun. But we went skiing yesterday. It's the first time I've been skiing since the pandemic happened. And, you know, my son and I love to ski
a lot.
Yep. It was hard. It was a completely different experience. Obviously, you know, you're masked up pretty much anyway because you're skiing.
Sure.
You know, but there's just a lot of, you know, the staff there is trying to manage the people because people are people and they'll forget.
And lift lines are lift lines.
Right. Well, people will forget or they just don't want to follow the rules or whatever is going on, or their kids screaming and they're trying to manage all of that or whatever. The other thing that I didn't really think about was, so where we went, it was it was open, but all of the lodges were closed.
Yeah. Okay.
So you couldn't even go inside to put your gear on or get your gear off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can't even take your bags.
No.
So you just pretty much get dropped off. You're already in your ski boots and everything, which is, you know, we don't go to the same place all the time. So it's not like I keep my gear at one mountain. Like a lot of people go to the same place and they have lockers, you store your stuff or whatever. We can't do that. So we've got everything with us. And I have a kid. And I have to be prepared, like with extra hat, extra gloves, hand warmers, feet.
All of it.
Right. So, and carrying a backpack is a pain because then you got to take it on and off every time you get on the lift. And, you know, everything's closed. So like even when you have lunch. Now, you've been out skiing. We're like first chair people.
Yeah.
We want fresh pow-pow. We want to shred the gnar.
Fresh pow-pow.
And it snowed 5 inches overnight. Oh. We woke up in the morning. We're like, let's go. At 6:47 in the morning, Barrett is like, Dad. I was like, Barrett, the mountain doesn't open until 8. We're 3 minutes from the mountain. We're going
to
be okay.
So you hop out of the car with boots on and everything, just ready to go.
Lana drops us off in the line. So we have everything on. We ski. And now it's lunchtime.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to sit inside, so you sit outside, you eat, which is okay, but now you're getting cold.
Right.
And it was just
that. It takes a little bit away of that. You know, you're going for lunch in the après ski and all of that.
That's the best
stuff.
Part. Like, that's such a culture of it.
Right. And just the kids. That's the hard part, too. You can't, like, bring the kids in to warm up, to dry. Because when you go inside, you can throw your gloves in front of the fireplace.
Yeah, there's a fireplace. You can listen to music. Right. Like, there's stuff to do.
I know I sound like I'm being kind of whiny here, but
no.
We had a great time and I loved it. And the mountain
it's
did
it. It's just different.
It was
that's all.
It was a little bit harder on you when you got done with it. You're like, oh, wow, this was, you know. So anyway, that's what we did.
I'm so glad you guys got to go.
It was fun. How about you, Annie?
I had a great weekend. Yes. I finally was social for the first time.
I saw lots of pictures that I was liking.
Guys, so you know how much I love bowling, and I love just like an old bowling alley, like a Southie Bowl or something.
Where did you go?
We went to Old Lindy's in Quincy.
You went to Old Lindy's?
Yes, girly girl.
Next time, hooker.
I will. So we went to Old Lindy's, and it was just so much fun. If you haven't been there before, it's just wicked old school. Draft beers are $2.50. I mean, a round was like $30 I think there was six of us there. It was perfect. It was such a good night out. And then Sunday, I went, excuse me, Rob got a new tattoo, so I went in like the last 15 minutes.
That was real?
His tattoo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
What did he get?
How did he fake it?
He got an umbrella with a storm underneath it. I'll show you a picture, Dan. It's so nice.
Is that Jones weather?
It's that Jones weather,
That's
baby.
Exactly what I didn't know if he was posting somebody else's or
no,
if it
it's
was
him.
Wow.
So I went like the last 15 minutes and I've never been in a tattoo parlor before. And I just was like so terrified watching the guy do it. Like the shading part, I didn't realize how hard they go. I mean, obviously, I don't know. I've never seen it before. I was so out of my comfort zone. I felt so out of place. Like, I'm just not cool enough to be in a tattoo parlor.
I walk in a tattoo, and the smell of a tattoo parlor just puts me at ease.
I'm not pierced. I'm not tatted. Like, I just don't feel cool in there. Like, I was, like, sitting in, like,
was
my flannel.
Was this Rob's first tattoo?
No, he's getting a sleeve. He has a bunch of tattoos. It was just like so cool to like be a part of that. And then yesterday I'm actually starting like a part-time nannying job. So I got to like be with the baby all day. And it was just like so nice being able to hold a baby again. And like, it's just the best feeling ever.
Producer Dan?
Well, we were dog sitting Beauregard most of the weekend. So outside of a quick Dave and Buster's trip for Mario Kart, we were in the house most of the time. Mm. So, and my girlfriend doesn't know a ton about pop culture. And I write trivia questions for a living, so we're basically polar opposites.
Okay.
She doesn't?
No, she knows nothing. She's seen Friends 15 times through. That's all she knows.
Huh.
So I tried to show her some new stuff since we were housebound.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched the Bourne trilogy.
Okay.
Which might be the best spy movies in my opinion.
Yeah, they are
opinion.
Pretty good.
They are very good.
And then I showed her this movie called A Monster Calls.
Okay.
Which was
one.
The biggest mistake I've ever done.
Oh, boy.
We were just scrolling through Netflix, and it was under, like, critically acclaimed films. Mm. And it had high ratings on Rotten Tomatoes, and I kind of just perused it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was, like, a nice coming-of-age tale of a young boy.
Mm.
And it was not.
Was it dark?
It was dark.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
and
everything it was, that gets good ratings on Rotten Tomatoes is, like, things that make you cry.
It was dark.
It's like American History X.
And there was
like those
a lot
ones.
Of feels. At one point, she was crying so hard, snot bubbles came out of her face. And we had to pause it because she was going to puke.
Right.
She almost cried so hard she puked.
Yeah.
You didn't
she gets
stop?
It.
You kept going?
No. And I was like, are you okay? She was like, I didn't expect to feel stuff tonight. I wasn't ready.
What are you doing to me?
And I was like, we can stop it. She's like, no, now we have to see if she dies.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, my God, what did I do?
Maybe just stick with friends, Dan. That's
and
all I'm saying.
After it ends, she's like, I have to call my mom because it's about a young boy and his mother.
Right.
And so she calls her mother in tears on FaceTime.
Her mom's like, what happened?
And she's like, you can never die.
Wow,
her mother
Dan.
Goes, Brittany, what happened to you? Dan made me watch his movie.
Oh,
from
my
now
God.
On, make sure it says comedy.
Dan doesn't understand Netflix and chill.
Oh, that's so good.
She turns around, she goes, why are you not crying?
Oh, then you get in trouble because you're emotionless.
Because you're not sensitive enough.
Yeah. Let me tell you though, there was I've never cried at a movie in my life, but even I was. There's a hospital scene, and there's a moment where I was like,
"All right, movies I will never watch in my life."
Like, yeah,
thank you, Dan. For
I would be unwell
that one for me.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix. Let's get to the dirty.
She's got the Hollywood hookup. Gossiping 24/7. It's the Dirty on the 30 with Kennedy.
With Kennedy.
Yeah. Dirty is a service of Kai and Bacon.
KM.
I did it again. It's
that's all right.
It's going to be in my head forever.
KM.
So anyway, super excited about that.
Mm. Yes.
Bacon. I have some samples for you. I will
bring
them in tomorrow.
In?
Oh, yes.
Amazing.
I have it all, the bacon
all
for
right.
you.
Cool. So Justin Timberlake has confirmed what we all pretty much knew, that he and his wife, Jessica Biel, indeed have a second child. You made
what?
That announcement on Ellen.
His name is Phineas. And he's awesome and he's so cute and nobody's sleeping. but we're thrilled, you know, we're thrilled and, you know, couldn't be happier. Very grateful.
He says it's a pretty funny interview. He says they've gone from a zone defense to man to man.
Stop.
Because it's much easier with two.
Yes. Once you have two babies, it's all over.
You go get that one and I'll get that
yep.
one. That's basically what he was saying. He also says Silas seems to like his new brother, but Phineas can't walk yet. So I'm sure that's going to change.
Right.
And Ellen DeGeneres said she was among the few of the outside of the immediate family who knew about the pregnancy. She said, I think we were FaceTiming and you said, hey, you want to know a secret? And then Jessica walked in and you put your hand on her stomach and you were like, I'm having another baby.
That is wild.
So,
of
how,
course,
how,
Ellen knew.
How old is Phineas now?
I want to say...
a couple months, right?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't write it.
I want to say less than a year.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, like maybe like not even 6 months yet.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to... This is it, man. This is going to tell how that relationship is doing. Because if there are any cracks in the wall, two kids...
Oh, yeah.
Will sever those.
I mean, haven't heard anything since the
since
movie
since the little
stuff.
Step out thing
well,
when
yeah,
filming
he
the movie.
Came home and got pregnant.
That's true.
Has that been 9 months since that happened?
Yes.
No.
That didn't happen this year.
Yeah, that
it?
Was pre-COVID. COVID's
that
been
was pre-COVID,
over 9 months.
Carson.
Hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
So it's. I'd like to look up that timeline.
I'll yeah.
That's
imagine
pretty
if
good.
We saw someone holding hands on a rooftop in the last 9 months. We'd be like socially distanced.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm telling you, they came home, they made up, and that's
right.
when the baby happened. Everything I'm reading, it doesn't have a date. So
I hope it works for them.
Me too.
We're all real worried about it. They're going to be just fine. Speaking of people who won't, it looks like Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are fast approaching that split.
Oh, no.
They had been going to marriage counseling, but now they have completely stopped. They were trying to save the relationship, but it looks like it's not going to happen. They're saying, sources say he is talking to divorce lawyers this week. Kim is not speaking about this at all, but we do know that she hired the high-profile divorce attorney Laura Wasser, which is who you get if you're going to get a divorce. So, and they just, you know, it's tale as old as time. Her future doesn't align with his. They're going in different directions.
He tried to run for president.
Tale as old as time.
I don't remember. He did. That seemed like 2018.
She hasn't worn her wedding band in a while either.
Yeah, like, she took it off and then put it on for a photo shoot. And then the next photo shoot, she was like, this is stupid. And she took it off again. So... sources say the love story has been over for a long time. They adored each other, but they just have too many differences.
It is sad.
And then I have another breakup to talk about. Ben Affleck and his girlfriend, Ana de Armas.
I am not well about this one. This one really broke me this morning, Kennedy.
Did it?
I love them.
They were just together only for a year. It was sort of just pandemic.
Yes.
You know, which speeds things up. You know, you move in together.
Sure, you get a pandemic puppy, you get a pandemic girlfriend or boyfriend. Yep.
And it was a mutual decision made over the phone. So, grown-ups. They were, as we've heard throughout this entire Dirty, they were on different paths and still have a lot of love and respect for one another. The funniest part of all of this is that he was cleaning out the house or moving her stuff out or whatever it is.
I saw this.
But for some reason or another, they had like a cardboard cutout of her, you know, like from a movie or something like this. You know, like people do.
Yeah.
So the people who are, you know, the people who are helping him do it are taking it out to the garbage can.
Right.
But it doesn't fit in a garbage can.
Oh, my God.
So they're trying to fit it in the garbage can all the while paparazzi taking pictures. And this poor girl.
And Ana de Armas' head is just head first in a trash can.
Does it go head first? Does it go legs first? Whatever.
Somebody on social media said it was Casey Affleck that was taking out the trash.
It's an ice cold.
That's funny. I read, too, that she apparently, like, he has to stay in L.A. and she doesn't want to live in LA, and now his kids are there. And so,
yeah, I mean, like, he obviously wants to be by his kids, and I think him and Jennifer Garner have done such an amazing job co-parenting. Jennifer Garner is literally an angel on this earth for just, you know, being with him through everything and still, you know, allowing him to have a relationship with his children. I just love Ana de Armas so much.
Kennedy, I know, she's adorable.
What would I know her from?
Knives Out. Did you see that?
I did, yeah.
She was the gal who would throw up if she couldn't tell a lie.
Yeah, she was the nurse.
The nurse, thank you.
She's so beautiful.
So anyway, it seems like everything's fine. But the pictures of the cutout are
That's all-timer. That is an all-timer.
Break up with somebody, you burn the cutout. That's the fun part.
But they were on good terms, so it just goes in the garbage.
It's purifying, Kennedy.
I feel like it should have gone on the recycle, but it's fine.
I think it was the recycle bin. It was a big one.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, really?
That's the funny part of it. Oh. They tried and it didn't fit, so it went in the garbage.
I need to see these photos.
Anyway.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Carson and Kennedy Show is back.
So here we go.
On Mix 104.1.
I don't think I have to tell you what effect the pandemic has had on small businesses everywhere. You know, I think about, you know, my family, my grandparents owned a small business. They owned a little grocery store, corner store in Washington, D.C. back in the day. My dad was a small business owner. My wife runs a small business out of our house. She has one employee. And just seeing all of these small business owners and the challenges that they've had to face, like you can't even have your employees come to work, right? And so there's a thing out there called the Barstool Fund. It was started by Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports, where he said, listen, if the government's not going to help out, I'm going to try and help out. And he just asked.
Restaurants were hit hardest of all.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, with the rules and the regulations mm-hmm. and the fact that small business owners still could work from home, or you can't open a restaurant if they don't let you.
Right.
So we've watched, you know, throughout this year, some of our favorite places go under and never mm-hmm. going to come back. And it's tragic.
So people have been donating to his Barstool Fund. A couple of businesses locally. I've seen barbershops and restaurants mm-hmm. and dive bars. Everybody getting involved. And we have a friend that donated $1 million to the Barstool Fund. Good morning, Ernie Bach Jr.
Hey, Ernie.
Good morning.
$1 million. How do you give $1 million? Do you Venmo it to Dave? What do you
write it? There's a limit on the Venmo. Okay.
How does that work?
You wire it.
You do. You have to wire $1 million.
You wire it. I talked to him, got a hold of him, and he's just doing such an amazing job in the devastation of the small business and the family business. Small businesses and family businesses are the backbone of the U.S. economy. So I just felt compelled. I had to do it. So I talked to him, and he had the money in 10 minutes.
Wow.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
I feel like there's like fancy people in suits standing in your vaults to wire $1 million.
No, you actually just press a couple buttons and you're gone.
Look, you ever paid a bill online? Same thing. But Ernie, you didn't just stop there. You decided to go around to some local businesses and do the 2021 challenge by tipping $2,021. What made you decide to go do that?
That was the night before. That was Wednesday. Because the restaurants are just... my favorite restaurant in Norwood closed down. Mm. And we don't have many great restaurants in Norwood. No offense to people in Norwood. We don't have... You know, it was horrible. And I, you know, pre-pandemic, I went to dinner, not a lot, but... Enough. And I love the service. They're awesome. I've always been a decent tipper. And I just woke up one morning and said, this is ridiculous. I have to do something. Mm-hmm. So I called a couple of my friends, Greg Hill and Blackie, because I don't really know the bars that much. We really went to bars when we did it. And I called them up on Tuesday and I said, I have a secret mission. I'm going to pick you up at 6:00, grab Blackie, and we're going. And Greg goes, okay. Didn't ask me, just was there. And when I got there, I said, this is what we're going to do. We got to help these bars and everything. Think, where do we go? And Blackie is like, I know exactly where to go. So we went to all these bars. We were basically the only people in the mm-hmm. bars. Mm. We went to Loretta's on Lansdowne.
Sure, yeah, Loretta's last call.
You know how big that place is?
Yeah.
We were literally the only one sitting there.
It's so heartbreaking.
They have great French fries, by the way.
They really do. I saw you went to J.J. Foley's, too, and I have spent many a nights at Mr. J.J. Foley's.
Legendary.
And I just feel like that's one of the places that's so local. I mean, that's where you go when you turn 21. That's what you do. And the fact that you knew that that's one of those small businesses, that if that went away, I don't know what the next generation would do. That breaks my heart to even think about.
Yeah. It's Carson and Kennedy. We're talking to Ernie Bach Jr. And, you know, you talk about small businesses and what you and your dad built here in New England with a small business is pretty special too.
Right. My grandfather, actually, I'm third generation.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my grandfather started the business in 1938 with a gas station on Route 1. And that building now is Newberry Comics on Route 1.
Wow.
Same building. I rent that to Mike Dries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in 1938, he started the business. And then in the early to mid-40s, a bookkeeper, that's what they called them back then, a bookkeeper stole $10,000 from the company.
Wow.
And we were going out. Just, that was it. That would have destroyed the money. I mean, the company.
Right.
My father went to all the banks, all the big banks in Boston. Nobody would give him the money. And this guy pulled up, because it was a gas station. This guy pulled up, and it sounds crazy, but the guy pulled up and said, hey, you look so glum. What's up? And my father said, well, we're closed, and we have a little bit of a problem. We can't get anybody at the bank. And the gentleman was Dominic Sansone, vice president of New England Merchants Bank. He talked to my father, and he said, I'll lend you the money.
No.
Wow.
And that's, and they were best friends. When I was a kid, like, Dominic was always over. They were best friends until the end. Dominic died first, and then my father died.
Mm. Wow.
So the a little infusion right. at a critical time mm-hmm. is can make it or break it.
So, Ernie, what have you been doing this, during this pandemic to keep yourself busy and not, you know, go a little stir crazy? I'm sure we all have. What do you do to keep yourself busy?
I stay home a lot. I mean, I've been staying home.
We all stay home. What do you do?
2 years before the pandemic, though.
Oh, believe me, I've been quarantining since before it was cool. But
yeah.
You know, what do you do in there? When you're told you have to stay home, it's different from just staying home in your own.
Well, I got a dog.
Okay. Nice.
I got a dog, and that's like having another kid.
Everybody
has kids, just like having another kid. So that's good. And I've been working on my house. You know.
Cool.
Well, I got to tell you, I just wanted to say thank you for doing this. It's
Seriously.
Incredible to write that $1 million check. I've had a chance to chat with your son, Alex, here and there over the years. And
yeah.
I think you can tell.
They love you guys. By
well,
them.
I can tell
me
you.
My daughter.
Love them.
And my, yeah.
That no says, accountant for taste.
It says a lot about, you know, a parent to know what a kid is like. And if you know somebody's kid, you can tell a lot about their parents. And they're just really good,
they're good kids.
So, yeah. Well, that is awesome. And let's challenge some other local businesses. Maybe
yes,
Jordan's Furniture. You're out there. Let's write a check for $1 million. I'm getting some text messages, challenges. That would be awesome. Help out the Barstool Fund, right?
Yes. Way, Elliot.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Ernie. It was great to talk to
Thanks,
you.
Ernie.
Thank you.
All right. There
Bye.
He goes. Ernie Bach Jr. just Venmoing $1 million to somebody.
That's just wild.
And what? Keeping it local with a 21 tip challenge. Like, I just love. I love that he's going to local places.
I wonder if he's on Venmo, if I could just send him a request right now.
I wonder if his own jingles ever get stuck in his head, because they get stuck in mine all the time.
Oh, yeah. Which one stands out?
Ernie Bach Jr.
Everything you're looking for.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1. Let's get to the dirty.
She's got the Hollywood hookup. Gossiping 24/7. It's the Dirty on the 30 with Kennedy.
With Cameron.
Yeah. So the inauguration, of course, is happening tomorrow. The swearing-in ceremonies for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. On Sunday, there was a concert, and then there'll be so much happening tomorrow. The inauguration festivities, and then there's a concert again tomorrow night. And Garth Brooks just announced that he will be performing as part of the swearing-in ceremonies, and he announced it yesterday during a press conference.
So this is a great day in our household. This is not a political statement. This is a statement of unity. That's pretty much it. Just excited, nervous, all the good things, you know, because this is history and it's an honor to get to serve. This is kind of how I get to serve this country. Our father served as a United States Marine in the Korean War. We had brothers that served in the Air Force and the Army. This is my chance to get to serve.
He also joked that he might be the only Republican at this place.
It's been such a crazy year for her. I mean, so amazing.
Oh, no, sorry. This one is J-Lo.
Yes, I know.
Oh,
I'll get there.
Oh, did you not want me to play that?
Nope.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were nodding
nope,
at me.
Nope, sorry. He also said, I've played for every president there is since Carter, with the exception of Reagan, and this is an honor for me. It's one of the things that if my family is around, no matter who the president-elect is, it is an honor to be asked. Of course, Lady Gaga will sing the national anthem at the swearing-in ceremony, and Jennifer Lopez will be performing. And A-Rod was asked what J-Lo is going through to get ready for this.
It's been such a crazy year for her. I mean, so amazing, so many blessings, but to think in a span of 12 months, she's done the Super Bowl, New Year's, and now the inaugural. It's unbelievable. And what's interesting is she's most nervous about Washington, D.C. because of the responsibility. And she wants more than anything, like all of us, to bring people together, to inspire. And, you know, music and sports does that better than anything. And she has something really cool. You're going to be surprised. You're going to love it.
Do you think country radio stations will quit playing Garth Brooks today?
I was just thinking that.
It's really interesting.
No, and here's why. The reason that they stopped playing the Dixie Chicks, and these are the only people that have been persecuted by country radio.
Mm-hmm.
Just FYI, let's go around the table with that one.
Yes.
But it was because on foreign soil, they said, I don't believe in my president.
Sure.
This is not denouncing one person for another. This is being part of our process.
Here. Yeah, I disagree with you. I think country radio, I think you're going to see some stations today that are going to make a stand.
Well, that is remarkably small-minded.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not saying it's not, but it's probably going to happen that there will be radio stations that will, because they will get such backlash.
This is such a divisive election. I feel like half of the listener base is going to turn on them.
Yeah.
I mean, people, did we stop playing people who played at Trump's inauguration? I mean, we don't play a lot of Toby Keith.
Well, no, I'm
sure. You know,
yeah,
I mean, we would not do that.
Mm-hmm. I think
not like our place.
Small town country radio stations.
I have so much respect for Garth Brooks. Yes. I mean, I just think it's incredible that he's like, you know what? Again, this is not a political statement. This is about unifying people. This is
he said it's an honor no matter who it is.
And if you know his history, he is one of the first in the country music community that has come out and spoken on the behalf of LGBTQ rights as well. So for him to do this, I think is pretty special.
And then, of course, then the primetime special happens tomorrow night, hosted by Tom Hanks, with performances by Bruce Springsteen, Foo Fighters, John Legend, Justin Timberlake, Demi Lovato, Bon Jovi, and so the latest in the Army Hammer ongoing scandal. Again, every day I take an hour of my life.
Yes, you do.
To go further down the rabbit hole because people just keep coming out and talking about. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, Armie Hammer, who I think is most notably known for playing the Winklevoss twins in The Social Network.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had many women come out saying that he was grooming them. There was a master and slave component. He talked about being a cannibal and drinking blood and things of this nature. But in any event, he did post this video, and it was him when he was in the Caymans and going through, like, showing you his hotel room. Like, here's my hotel room. Isn't it fabulous?
Mm-hmm.
And on the bed was a woman placed in a very suggestive position, not wearing a whole lot of clothes, which he just kind of panned by and didn't really, you know, didn't even say anything.
That was probably
like,
the joke.
Like, that was just supposed to be what's waiting for him on his bed whenever he goes somewhere.
Sure, yeah, I gotcha.
And in it, he said that this was Miss Cayman. Miss Cayman Islands, the winner of Miss Cayman Islands, because they had just had the pageant there, and it wasn't. And
he was just being funny.
The Miss Cayman Islands pageant people were not pleased at all about.
Oh boy!
Putting out a statement saying this is clearly not our person.
Right.
Please don't bring us into your nonsense. We appreciate it.
Army.
So for the second time, he's come out with an apology, saying, "I'm genuinely sorry for any confusion my foolish attempt at humor may have caused. My deepest sympathies to Miss Cayman, who I don't know, and to the entire organization, as I had no intentions of implying she was actually Miss Cayman." Except that you said she was.
I'm so uncomfortable.
He had to apologize to an island.
He's like, yeah, it's my bad.
To a pageant.
That's how you're messing up.
Sarcasm font is what he needed there.
So
I feel like he should just lay low. Like, maybe just don't post on social media
and
for a while.
From what I'm reading, because he right now is in the Cayman Islands. That's where his family is. That's where they're living right now.
Right.
And he's out every night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Army.
And now we've got the opposite of a real update, the garbage update. Meghan Markle's estranged family is piping up now that she's back here in the United States. Thomas Markle reveals he's working on a documentary about his life with Meghan. He says he's working and hopes to release the documentary later this year. It starts with his life and family and career in television.
Nobody cares.
Career in television.
I guess. And then he moves on to Meghan's upbringing and career after college. He's calling it What Happened to My Baby Girl type project, remembering the good life they had.
What's his first name again? Thomas.
Yeah.
I loathe
Meanwhile,
this man.
Entirely.
Samantha, the stepsister, half-sister, just released her memoir, which also centers around Meghan, saying, The Diary of Princess Pushy's Sister, Part 1.
Part 1!
She's calling her sister Princess Pushy.
Part 1, Kennedy. How many parts are we going to get?
It is available at the Barnes & Noble.
No.
Kennedy, I just...
And obviously getting some reviews that are not nice, and Samantha's calling them nasty trolls.
So what is Thomas Markle's history in television?
You know what? I would love to know that, Carson.
Well, I pulled up his IMDb.
Thank you.
He's a camera operator. He worked on General Hospital in 1963. He worked on Married with Children in 1987. He worked on Santa Barbara in 1984.
I loved Santa Barbara.
So there's,
never missed it.
Yes. He has a long list of at least one film in filmography.
Can he just go away?
Yeah. I don't want to say I'd punch an old man, but I'd probably punch that old man.
Yeah.
He also 100%. Worked as a lighting director for Port Charles, the TV series.
That was not a good one.
I mean, this guy, he's like the Stephen King of camera operators.
I'm looking up the reviews for Meghan's sister's book, Samantha's book. And it's either a 1-star or a 5-star, so clearly both of them are nothing but robots.
He was a lighting consultant for The Facts of Life as well.
Hey, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and
there you
bad.
Have.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
It is garbage television, and God bless Andy Dow for watching it so we don't have to. Annie is obsessed, and she's obsessed with The Bachelor.
Annie's obsessed, she gets the traffic right. Annie's obsessed, don't call her Monday night. She's president of Bachelor Nation, if you didn't know.
Now you know.
And don't get her started on Supermarket Joe.
She's back in the studio.
Annie's obsessed.
Bachelor Edition.
Ladies and gents, I gotta tell you, this episode was a roller coaster ride, to say the least. And not a Yankee Cannonball roller coaster that is enjoyable. We're talking about one of the ones that rattles your head and makes your earring back stab you. We had someone faint at a rose ceremony. We had erotic novels. We had a villain switch up. It was Lord of the Flies meets 50 Shades meets Mean Girls. And boy, Matt James has no idea what he's getting himself into. Let's unpack. The episode started with a rose ceremony where we see Sarah start to look like she's going to pass out. So quick recap. Sarah had a one-on-one with Matt last week, and they hit it off really well. Sarah opened up about being one of the caretakers for her father who's living with ALS, and it was just such a good date. So Matt James immediately runs over to see if Sarah's okay, while every other girl in there just thinks it's a stunt, thinks that she's completely faking it. So this is the beginning of a miserable ride for Sarah.
Finish him.
As for the roses, Matt sent home girls I have literally never seen before and kept Victoria because Bachelor producers know his deepest, darkest secrets and will air his dirty laundry if he doesn't keep her around for ratings. They're the spawns of Satan, I tell you. Let's move on to my favorite date of the year. It's a group date where the ladies had to write their own short erotic stories about Matt James. Ew. These ladies need Jesus, holy water, sage. My poor virgin ears, Kennedy, were flabbergasted.
His long, thick legs. She yearned for more power, something deeper.
All the things in the past that was evidently lacking, I know my man's Matt James packing.
Oh.
But what made my jaw drop, you ask?
What made your jaw drop?
Christopher B. Harrison wrote an erotic novel. From Amazon, it's titled The Perfect Letter. The Perfect Letter explores the perils and rewards of risking everything for love. Christopher, I am blushing, but if you see it as my next download on Audible, mind your business. So to set the scene for you guys, the way the group date was set up was the woman had to read their sexy stories in front of a live audience, aka it's just the other women in the house that aren't on the date because they can't have live audiences now. The issue with the group date was that Sarah couldn't handle the fact that the other women were talking about Matt so intimately. Baby girl, there's been literally minimum 126 seasons of this godforsaken show. He's dating 30 other women. That's how it works. But apparently for Sarah, she needed to talk to Matt about it. So she interrupted the group date that she was not on. No. And you can only imagine how pleased the gals were.
But you did it after the fact. And that's
you should have come
annoying. Like the damage is already done.
Couldn't you have said this at another time?
You know, I wasn't sure like when I would have an opportunity to say this. And
but it's the first day of the week. Okay. And everyone's having a date this week.
Chris Harrison said everyone's getting time today.
Yeah.
Like, what did you have to address? Because it would probably be pretty serious for you to have come here. It's literally just between me and him. And I just want to let you guys know why I'm here. And I'm sorry.
The saga did not stop there. Sarah spent the entire next day sulking in her room, literally avoiding all the girls that she stole the time from the night before. And you know when you walk into a room and you know everybody was talking about you?
Yep.
Well, imagine that, but with 30 women who all have lip fillers and designer sweatpants.
I have had great conversations and connections with you ladies, and, you know, I know...
Who is she talking to? Like, what?
Okay, well, my thing is, like, the time that he spent reassuring you, some of us didn't get to talk to him at all, and so he can't even explore those relationships, and we can't explore our relationships with him.
Because you're monopolizing. This is not the Sarah show.
It's the biggest word I've heard Victoria use was monopolizing. Sarah decided the process was too much for her and she packed her bags. And as much as I don't agree with her being selfish and interrupting the other girls, The Bachelor is a sick science experiment and deprives people enormously. So I'm happy that she left. And please, please, girly, date a man who like owns a bakery or something and just date someone so plain. But as I came in this morning, I wrote this last night, as I came in this morning, I found out that she's been stepping out with none other than Cheap Miser himself, G-Eazy. So I have no hope for her anymore.
Wow.
Next week, it seems like we are finally getting to the point where I know most of the girls' names and I see connections forming. But Chris Harrison hates me and is bringing in 5 new girls.
We've had enough drama this week. We all deserve a break.
What?
No.
Oh my gosh!
There are 5 new girls.
Who the f*** are these random ass f***?
Is she kissing you? I want to vomit right now.
It's hard. This is so hard.
People are pissed.
They just wanted to save the best for last.
I literally just want to go home.
This is already the most amount of women in Bachelor history. Like, why are they adding people? I can't handle it. My brain is going to explode if I see any more girls walk into this mansion.
It's just because they knew it's Ken.
I just can't do it anymore. I can't do it. They broke me. Chris Harrison has broke me.
Penny's obsessed. She gets the traffic right. Penny's obsessed. Don't call her Monday night. She's president of Bachelor Nation. If you didn't know.
Now you know.
And don't get her started. A supermarket Joe.
What's he up to?
Penny's obsessed. Bachelor Edition.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's the best part.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 1041.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.